Welcome to WRIR 97.3 FM. I am your host, Crystal Talley, and you are listening to N3 Radio. N3 Radio's mission is to heal, inspire, and educate the survivors of domestic violence, sexual abuse, and violent crimes, and to also empower you, our listening audience, to step up, speak out, and take your place in the community to end violence. Our topic for today is male sexual abuse, and our guest is Steve Lepore from 1 in 6. But before I introduce Steve, I would like to talk about child sexual abuse. Child sexual abuse can be very difficult to talk about. Sexual abuse, and even more difficult to acknowledge that sexual abuse of children of all ages, including infants, happens every single day. Sexual abuse of children has become the subject of great community concern and the focus of many legislative and professional initiatives. This is evidenced by the expanding body of literature on sexual abuse, public declaration by adult survivors, and increased media coverage of sexual abuse issues. Studies suggest that even more children suffer abuse and neglect than ever reported to Child Protective Services agencies. Statistics indicate that girls are more frequently victims of sexual abuse, but the number of boys is also significant. What is child sexual abuse? At the extreme end of the spectrum, sexual abuse includes sexual intercourse or any deviations. Yet all offenses that involve sexually touching a child, as well as non-touching offenses and sexual exploitation, are just as harmful and devastating to a child's well-being. The effects of sexual abuse extend far beyond childhood. Sexual abuse robs children of their childhood and creates a loss of trust, feelings of guilt, and self-abusive behavior. It can lead to antisocial behavior, depression, identity, confusion, and loss of self-esteem, and other serious emotional problems. It can also lead to difficulty with intimate relationships later in life. The sexual victimization of a child is ethically and morally wrong. When sexual abuse occurs, the child victim may be the only witness and the child statement may be the only evidence. In such cases, the central issue sometimes becomes whether the child's statement can be trusted. Some child welfare experts feel that children never lie about sexual abuse and their statements must always be believed. Potential reporters are not expected to determine the truth of a child's statement. As a general rule, therefore, all doubts should be resolved in favor of making a report. A child who describes being sexually abused should be reported unless there is clear reason to disbelieve the statement. Child sexual abuse cases can be very difficult to prove largely because cases where definitive, objective evidence exists are the exception rather than the rule. The first indicators of sexual abuse may not be physical, but rather behavioral changes or abnormalities. Unfortunately, because it can be so difficult to accept that sexual abuse may be occurring, the adult may misinterpret the signals and feel that the child is merely being disobedient and disrespectful. The reaction to the disclosure of abuse then becomes disbelief and rejection of the child's statement. Sexual abuse is usually discovered in one of two ways. Direct disclosure, example, the victim's family member or parent seeking help makes a statement. Indirect methods, someone witnesses the abuse to the child and the child contracts a sexually transmitted disease or the child becomes pregnant. Sometimes the child may be so traumatized by sexual abuse that years pass before he or she is able to understand or talk about what happened. In these cases, adult survivors of sexual abuse may come forward for the first time in their 40s or 50s and divulge the horror of their experiences. What should you look for if you suspect sexual abuse? Children who are sexually abused may exhibit behavioral changes based on their age. Children up to age 3 may exhibit fear of excessive crying, vomiting, feeding problems, bowel problems, sleep disturbances, failure to thrive. Children ages 2 to 9 may exhibit fear of particular people, places, or activities, regression to earlier behaviors such as bedwetting or stranger anxiety, victimization of others, feelings of shame or guilt, nightmares or sleep disturbances, withdrawal from family or friends, fear of attacks, reoccurring, and eating disturbances. Symptoms of sexual abuse in older children and adolescents include depression, nightmares or sleep disturbances, poor school performance, substance abuse, aggression, runaway from home, fear of attack reoccurring, eating disturbances, early pregnancies or marriage, suicidal gestures, anger about being forced into situations beyond one's control, and pseudo-mature behaviors. So what can you do to protect your child? You can teach your children what appropriate sexual behavior is and when to say no if someone tries to touch sexual parts of their body or touch them in any way that makes them feel uncomfortable. Also, observe your children when they interact with others to see if they are hesitant or particularly uncomfortable around certain adults. It is critical to provide adequate supervision for your children and only leave them in the care of individuals whom you deem safe. How do you support child abuse victims? Children need to know that they can speak openly to a trusted adult and that they will be believed. Children who are victims of sexual abuse should always be reassured that they are not responsible for what has happened to them. Offer encouragement for victims by supporting organizations that help victims of incest or by simply reassuring victims of sexual abuse that they should not feel shame or guilt. It is important to understand that troubled families can be helped and that everyone can play a part in the process. Teach others about child abuse. Help make others aware of sexual abuse by arranging for knowledgeable guest speakers to present to your organizations or groups. Encourage your local school board to establish programs to educate both teachers and students about the problem. Report, report, report. If you suspect sexual abuse and believe a child to be in imminent danger, report it to the local Child Protective Services agencies, often called social services or human services, in your county or state. Professionals who work with children are required by law to report reasonable suspicion of abuse or neglect. Furthermore, in 20 states, citizens who suspect abuse or neglect are required to report it. Reasonable suspicion based on objective evidence, which could be firsthand observation or statements made by a partner or a child, is all that is needed to report. Remember that you may be the only person in a position to help a child who is being sexually abused. Now I'm going to go ahead and introduce Steve Lepore, our guest for today. Steve brings over 24 years of experience in nonprofit management and consulting to 1-in-6, which he founded in January 2007. He originally worked in the private sector as Director of Human Resources for Six Flags Corporation and Landmark Entertainment Group. In 1988, Steve co-founded My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway youth in Hollywood, California, and became its full-time executive director in 1990. In June 1999, he left My Friend's Place to found the Santa Clarita Valley Youth Project, a community-based outreach program preventing high-risk behavior among students in his own neighborhood. Steve is currently a Durfee Foundation Stanton Fellow, researching effective strategies to address difficult social issues and create change through program and policy development, and also served on the board of CalCASA, the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you.
Steve, what inspired you to do this work?
Well, I think it's important to know that the work that One in Six does is a collective effort, and that there's a large group of people that came together to found the organization, to create the business plan, if you will, or to create the roadmap that we try and follow, and then to deliver on the programs. All of us have, you know, different reasons for wanting to be involved, but certainly I think at the top of everybody's list would be that this is an area where there are an enormous number of people that have great need, and so to be able to offer support and help to try and satisfy some of that need is an honor. And so for us, and our involvement in the work, I think it's that we saw a need and we said, you know what, we think we can help with that. And so after many months of planning and trying to figure out what our help could be so that we weren't duplicating other efforts, but that we were indeed going to be doing something that was perhaps unique or certainly important, then we launched the project. So I think it's always important, and it's just a good thing for us to remember that the effort is that of a number of people.
Steve, what are the statistics of men who have had unwanted or abusive sexual experiences as a child?
Well, the accepted statistic is that 1 in 6 boys and 1 in 3 girls suffered some sort of abuse, sexual abuse, trauma, as a young child, so 16 and younger. It is our belief that that number is probably low because it's a highly underreported incident or crime. So it could be as many as 1 in 5 boys. And so that's where we got our name. And if you go to our website, there is a statistics page that talks about what we're talking about now, which is, where does this number come from? What does it mean? What is it? How did we arrive at it? And there are studies that have been done, research that's been done. Certainly there's a lot of anecdotal evidence to suggest that it's at least 1 in 6. But we're comfortable with that number. That's why we named ourselves what we did, to create a little awareness and in some cases just to create a talking point, if you will. 1 in 6, what does that mean? But that's the number that we think captures the issue that, you know, almost 19 million men in this country, and we're just talking our country, almost 19 million men suffered abuse, sexual trauma as a young boy.
Steve, that is a huge number of men who have suffered sexual abuse as a child. So tell me, what sets your website apart from other organizations?
One of the things that we're most proud of is that the way that the website is set up, it's certainly intuitive, it's very easy to use, but I think the overarching thing, one of the overarching things that are wonderful about the site is that it's very self-paced. So if someone says, you know what, I think it's time, or I want to do a little research, or I'd like to put my toe in the water, but I don't want to jump right in, they can come onto the site, they can nose around, they can read wonderful content that's been written, you know, maybe go to the lending library and check out a book. If they're really ready to do some hard work or need to speak with someone, they can go onto the support line, get help that way with a live person. But I think at the end of the day, everybody has a different reason. It may be that it's someone they loved. It may be that it's them themselves that have suffered abuse and trauma as a child. Maybe somebody that works for them or that, you know, sits across from them in class. So the reasons that folks go are a little bit different. But at the end of the day, as I say, the very abiding, safe environment where they can get good information at their own pace, in their own time, when they're ready. They can go to the site and come back. They can go to the site and spend an afternoon there, whatever it makes sense for them to do. That's the way it's been written and drawn up and created, so that it's an environment that fosters that type of opportunity for someone.
Safety is very important to a survivor. Steve, so how safe is 1 in 6's website?
Oh, indeed. I mean, you know, it's a priority for us to let the visitors to our site know that they're safe. In fact, I think the one thing that you see, not the one thing, but one of the things that you see that pop off the screen at you right when you go to the homepage is this little icon that says 1 in 6 is 100% private. And when you click on that icon, it takes you to our privacy information page, our policies regarding anonymity and safety and so forth. And long before we launched the site, that was paramount for us, was to make certain that people understood that we took their privacy and their safety into consider in every piece of the work that we've delivered in this site, and that's non-compromisable for us.
Sexual abuse is a very devastating experience for a man. So how does he begin the healing process?
I think it's very important to note that it's a devastating experience for anyone, male or female. What we're talking about today are men who suffered abuse as children. And again, just like the reasons that folks show up to the website are as different and varied as the people that show up are, the recovery process, the roadmap that folks follow, is going to be equally as difficult. In some cases, it depends on the trauma that they suffered. Some may have affected some people in ways that are much more difficult to overcome and more problematic in terms of just getting through the daily routine of life. For other folks, it may not have been so difficult, but nonetheless still weighs on them and robs them of a completely full and whole and happy life. And so for those folks that come to the site, for those folks that move into therapy or into group or both, the roadmap that we follow is different for each of us. And again, that's part of the reason that we've taken such time to create a site that's safe, that's allows a person to be anonymous. But I think the most important thing is it allows them to take their own time, to create their own path, if you will. And so for some men, they need to just talk, just to be able to read, perhaps. For other folks, it's, hey, I'm ready to get a book, or I'm ready to go onto the support line and find out if there is a counselor in the part of the country that I live in. And so it's different for everybody. It is indeed a devastating experience. We don't want to downplay that at all, but the road to recovery, the road to a full and complete and healthy and whole life, takes many different turns for each person that happens to be on it.
Steve, are there resources for family and friends who support survivors of sexual abuse on your website?
One of the things that's really cool about the site that we've created is that there are entryways for the different groups of people. One of the entryways is for men themselves who've suffered abuse and trauma. The other is for professionals who might be working with men. But I think equally, maybe as importantly or more importantly, is there's an entry portal for family members, for moms and dads and brothers and sisters. And while much of the information is the same, it's not all the same. And so that's also a great resource for someone who's a parent of a child who suffered abuse.
Steve, your website is very informative. Right now, we're going to take a short music break, and then we'll be right back with Steve Lepore from 1 in 6.
Sometimes I lay under the moon. I thank God I'm breathing. And I pray, don't take me soon, 'cause I am here for a reason.
Sometimes in my tears I drown, but I never let it get me down. So when negativity surrounds, I know someday it'll all turn around. Because all my life I've been waiting for, I've been praying for the people to say that we don't wanna fight no more. There'll be no more war, and our children will pay.
We have just listened to One Day by Matis Yahoo. Welcome back, Steve.
Thank you.
Steve, let's talk about the exciting opportunity in which you contributed to Law and Order last year in September.
Well, it was indeed an exciting opportunity. We were certainly honored to have been contacted by the folks at the Joyful Heart Foundation, which is Mariska Hargitay's foundation. Mariska is the lead actor on the TV show Law and Order SVU. And what they had was a script that they wanted us to review, to take a look at, and to see if indeed it represented what they were hoping that it did, which was a true picture of what goes on in some cases in communities around this country. This particular show was about a young athlete and his coach, although that is not a condemnation in any way about coaches in a general term. This was a specific story that was written. And it was a wonderful experience because two of us had the opportunity to review the script. And I think the thing that was so gratifying was we offered one very minor editorial change, and that was it, that the rest of the script could not have been more dead center, spot on, and could not have been better written. We were so thrilled to know that the writer captured what we felt was perfectly the situation. And so for us, it was a great honor to have been asked. And then I think also it was just a great opportunity, if you will, to see that folks really understand the issue. And we're creating a wonderful show. And it has such a hopeful and affirming ending that that's as important as anything else.
Steve, I did have an opportunity to view that episode of Law and Order, and it was definitely life-changing. So tell me what's new for 1 and 6 in 2012.
Well, there's a lot going on. We, as you know, we have three very specific program areas, one of them being the website, which we've talked about. And the good news is that we're beginning to create videos, little vignettes, where I don't want to give too much away because they're not public yet, but the videos that we're creating are videos of men telling their story, if you will, talking about their experience. And it may be a situation where somebody comes in and says, you know what, I don't know if there's anybody like me. You click on a couple of these videos and you might find that indeed there's someone just like you or very much like you. And then after you watch the video, it'll give you the opportunity to click through to more information. It would be static and not video, but more information that might be helpful to you in your specific situation. So that's some of the work that we're doing on the website that we're excited about for this year. Then we, you know, the other two areas that we have a lot of good news to share about is certainly our training initiatives. We're partnering with the Joyful Heart Foundation on a couple of trainings this next year, and we will deliver many more than just a couple, but we're partnering with them, which is for us very exciting. And our training initiative is a nationwide effort. It's everything from a 90-minute presentation to a 2 full-day training for licensed clinicians that include CEUs, continuing education credits. And then, of course, our general outreach campaign, which includes campus outreach, is in full swing. We're on 5 campuses here in L.A. We're testing our efforts to see if they're indeed going to be able to deliver what we hope. And then if that's the case, we will make every effort to roll them out nationwide so that campuses nationally will have the benefit of our services and our materials for students that might need them.
Steve, how can we engage as a community to begin to bring awareness to this issue and support 1 in 6 in its mission?
Well, I think it's two different questions. One is the opportunity to create awareness, and the other is to get involved and to try and support what we do. The first part of that question, I think, is very personal, and I think folks have to determine what their level of comfort is with getting involved in creating awareness. It could be a conversation at the dinner table. It could be something that someone brings up in a classroom, whatever it is that they feel is important to them, but also allows them to remain comfortable in the situation. Then with regard to the support of 1 in 6, you know, there's no question that this is a very difficult issue to fund services for. So always there's a need for financial support. We don't have a lot of volunteer opportunities because we're not a bricks and mortar organization. We're based corporately in Los Angeles, and we have staff around the country, but we don't have an office that you can walk into and volunteer at in that way. But there's plenty of opportunities to take our materials and distribute them. If you know that there's an opportunity or a need in your community for training, you can let us know. So those are certainly ways that people can get involved and support us specifically. I think the most important thing that anyone can do with regard to this issue is that when someone tells them that they suffered sexual abuse or sexual trauma as a child, that they believe them and that they do whatever they can to try and find help for them.
That's awesome, Steve. How can our listening audience get in contact with 1 in 6?
It's really easy. It's 1in6.org. It's the number 1 and the number 6. It's not spelled out, but it's the numeral. 1in6, 1in6.org. That's the statistic. 1in6 men were sexually abused as children, and so the website is 1in6.org.
Steve, I'd like to thank you for being a guest on our show, and I do support your organization 100%, and I look forward to speaking with you soon.
Well, Crystal, we're grateful for that beyond words, and congratulations to you for your good work, and Happy New Year to you and all of your listeners.
Thank you, Steve. Our next guest will be Tony Porter, the original visionary and co-founder behind A Call to Men, the National Association of Men and Women committed to ending violence against women. I again would like to thank Steve Lepore from 1 in 6, our partners and supporters, and you, our listening audience. Please visit our website at www.n3radio.org, that's END3radio.org, for helpful resources. This has been your host, Crystal Talley, and you have been listening to N3 Radio. And until next time, be safe, be healthy, and hold on to your dreams.